on a Tuesday afternoon. Gwynn and Chris program on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Peoria. He's on the call right now. Giants, Padres. Spring training action. Game is tied at one in the top of the eighth inning. As soon as that one's over, Tony will be joining us, and we'll look forward to having him on the program in just a little while. Padres actually playing a pair of games today, split squad day. They're trailing the Cubs 5-0 in the other game. So.
What's the point of that?
What's the point of it? Just to get more guys, more guys get in the game. More guys get to play. More at bats. You know, more innings. Nothing wrong with that.
You already kind of know where you stand, though, if you get sent away.
I don't think so.
Really?
Well, maybe in this case you might be closer to it. Arise, Tatis, Merrill, Machado, Cronenworth, Bogarts, Hayward. That's your first seven hitters in the game against the Giants, so that sounds a lot like what the lineup probably will be. You know, so the other game, you have a little different look to it, right? Rosario, Sheets, Connor Joe, Oscar Gonzalez, Campusano, Forrest Wall. I could read into something if you want to. Ultimately, you know, I think the first lineup is going to be pretty close to what we get on opening day. But there's still some, you know, big question marks. We'll talk about that as we go along here. But before we get to baseball, before we get to the Aztecs in action tonight in Las Vegas, trying to I don't know if they can clinch the at-large berth. I mean, that's the big thing right now for the Aztecs. You know, win their last two for sure. Then I don't think they have to win the conference tournament, and they should be in the NCAA. So take no chances. But we'll talk about that as well. All coming up on the show, we've got we might have a fantabulous game show today, depending on when Tony joins us. We might even have a rate the radio call.
I think we're going to have a rate the radio call.
Turning back the clock here.
You know, sometimes we have to. You know, sometimes we have to dust off the old segments.
Strasburg, ready to go. All right, we'll get a little rate the radio call in today. We'll hear some of the fun.
Strasburg, ready to go.
Yeah, that guy's good. Give him a 10. all right, so all that stuff a little later. But I got to talk about something with you, Scraby,
before we go
any further.
What?
This is huge.
Oh no.
If I were to tell you that I was nearly involved in a life-altering, changing moment this morning.
This morning?
Yeah, life-altering, life-changing.
My gosh.
No, we didn't. Lori's not having a baby.
Okay, I never thought that.
I think that's way up there, you know, on life-changing moments in people's lives.
Yes,
somebody has a baby.
Yes.
But no, that's not it.
I think I know what
it might
be.
You know what I did today, so I think that's going to help you come up with might have happened.
No way.
Here's the thing. What else out there is a life-changing experience? Don't say what you think it is.
I think I know.
Say what you think something else would be that could compare with this before we tell what it is. I mean, I think a baby is a little too much.
Yeah,
like, we're having a baby, that's way more than
marriage
this.
Is a little bit too much, but maybe
what is,
just below.
What is along the lines
if you're a sports person?
If you're a sports person, right? What is along the lines of what I'm talking about? Bowling a 300 game? If you're a bowler,
that would be amazing.
I would think that would be something that would be way up the list. Yeah, I don't know what else compares
Jocelyn
to
said
it.
Bought a new house, but that's not true.
No, bought a new house is exciting, but that's not it. It's something that happened on the field of play. And so when it's something that happens on the field of play, what else could
it
be?
On the chat.
All right. 17th hole today. Riverwalk Golf Course, Scrabe. Part 3, of course.
How far is this shot? I'm trying to envision the hole.
Yeah, it's over some berm, but it's about 145, 50 yards. You got
elevated green?
A little bit elevated, not a lot elevated.
I think I know.
Into the wind today.
Okay.
So I used a 6 iron. I normally use a 7 on this hole. Went for the 6 iron. Caught it good. And it sailed up there, out there, and landed on the green maybe 3-4 feet to the left of the flag.
Okay.
And then started rolling toward
the
flag. And I got to tell you, for about 2.5 seconds, I had an outer body experience. I was like, ah! I did not know what to do, what to think.
Logo.
My body was just flipping out. My stomach was churning.
Fell to the ground.
Almost. Alas, it rolled about a foot or two past.
Chris, your thigh almost played this.
You thought I had it.
You can't come on here and tell a story about a non-hole-in-one.
It was so close. Now I'm getting jeered. It was so close that I honestly, they almost gave me this, the gimme for the putt. That's how close it ended up.
That's pretty close.
Knocked it in, close. You know, to make sure I got the birdie. But the reason I brought it up is because I never even expected to think about having a hole in one or anything like this. I imagine if I golf long enough, maybe. I mean, not everybody's guaranteed one.
I still haven't had one.
You haven't had
one?
I've been
playing since before I can remember.
Right, and I know there's some pros on the PGA Tour that honestly haven't had one. There's some that have had 5 or 6 and even more. But the point, the reason I tried to bring this up is because for that moment where the ball was rolling, you could tell it had enough on it to get to the pin, but I'm standing 150 feet away, so I don't have the exact angle. But I thought it was going to go in. So did everybody that we were playing with. And that was the out of body thing. I don't want to say I'm glad it didn't go in.
Why?
There was a piece of me that was like, if it went in, I don't know what I could have done. I don't know what I would have done.
Well,
I don't think I could have lived up to it.
This is one of the weird things about golf, but whenever someone gets a hole in one, you have to buy drinks after for everyone.
Yeah.
For some reason, you get a hole in one and you have to buy everybody drinks.
Even if it's like 11 in the morning, everybody's got to sidle up to the bar.
Especially at 11 in the morning.
Especially at 11 in the morning.
Me?
Okay, I get
you
what you're saying.
All, I mean, you are working. I think the guys you play with are retired, so they got nothing
right,
going
they could
on.
Do it. Yeah, they could have done it. So, I didn't get it, but it just got me thinking on the way over, what compares to that? You know, in sport, I mean, the 300 game, I think of, I mean, on the chat, give me something.
You know, for me?
That in sports, I mean, hitting a home run, I think a lot of people hit a home run.
That would be it for me.
You know, you throw a touchdown pass in a flag football game. I don't know, you hit a half court shot in basketball, that's not a hole in one.
I think for me,
so I don't know what it is. I don't know what compares to this, but I really think it would have changed my whole being that ball rolled in.
I actually know
you
one.
Know it's kind of weird. I'm glad it didn't in a way, because I don't know if I could have handled it.
I actually know one, and it is dunk a basketball.
Oh, dunk a bat. But see, that's not even possible
for some
I can't
people.
Dunk for me for one.
Yeah, I can't dunk these days either. People didn't believe that I could grab the rim either, but well, mine would be definitely some sort of walk-off home run
to win what?
Like a walk-off home run. A softball game even?
Yeah.
That'll work for me, because that's the only venue it's going to happen in.
I think hole-in-one beats them all. I really do.
Hole-in-one is on its own, because you have so many different things that have to work in your favor for that to happen. Like, for a home run, there's not as many things working against you as a hole-in-one does.
I think this would have been life-changing. Alas. Rolled past, so I'm still on the list of people who don't have one.
Someone else said inside the park home run.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it does sound fun.
Sounds tiring, actually.
Yes, it does sound very tiring.
It's a lot of running.
Tony has one.
Tony had two.
Tony had two. Yes,
at the big league level. So that's a whole different story. With that, we welcome you to it.
I can't believe you're pulling a fast one on me.
I thought you did it.
I was almost crying for you.
I told you going into the story that I said, what is an almost life-changing event? I didn't say I had the life-changing event.
I didn't listen close enough.
Yes, you know you didn't. Padres off-season grades came in today from my friends at ESPN Plus.
Oh, yeah.
You know how I love to pay for these articles.
Yep.
There's a couple of things. First of all, out there, what would you give the Padres off-season, the whole off-season, taking everything into account? You got to take everything into account, players they did get, players they didn't get, players they lost from last year. How about taking this into account, Scraby? How much money more your salary is this year than it was last year?
Mm-hmm.
The Padres are paying like $38 million more in salary this year than they did last year.
Yep.
Despite losing a bunch of players.
And quote unquote, not spending or cutting payroll.
Yeah.
Which they didn't really do.
So, with all of that in mind, the Padres got, what would you give them? I'll get your grade. A through F, obviously. What are you giving? What are you getting?
You know, the Nick Pivetta signing, for some reason, has swung it so much
better.
Higher.
That
better.
Certainly
it,
helped.
I would say, right now, I would give him a C+.
C+ for you.
Yes.
ESPN went D. Straight up D.
Interesting. Why D? What's the reasoning?
Well, and it's funny. They mentioned that the Nick Pivetta signing actually made it better from, like,
from an F?
Brought them out of the even a deeper hole.
I mean, I think a lot of people are not recognizing the fact that the Padres already have all these guys in place, so they didn't need to go out and sign a Manny Machado in the offseason.
I know, but that doesn't go into your offseason. Your offseason does not include the players that are coming back from a year ago.
Yeah, but
your
that changes the goals for each team in
your
the offseason.
Your offseason is what changed. Here's the reason that they got a D. It's not because they only signed Nick Pivetta, Jason Hayward, and Connor Joe. I think it's more because they have to try to replace Jerickson Profar, Ha-Seong Kim, Tanner Scott, Donovan Solano, Kyle Higashioka, David Peralta, and Martin Perez. And you combine all of that with your payroll going up $38 million. That, my friends, is not the world's greatest offseason. Add to the fact that Joe Musgrove is out for the season, and that's another ding on the comparison from the end of last year to where you are now. Now, this doesn't mean the Padres can't go out and win 89 games again. This just means that that's, you know, what people are thinking. And
I'm a little annoyed
I don't think
by
they're
this
that
rating.
Far off.
I'm a little annoyed by the rating. I don't think it's a D. C minus, yes, not a D.
A straight up D, not even D plus. and here's the one last thing, and then we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to tell you why this doesn't matter as much as it may seem like, and it doesn't hurt as much.
Okay.
But here's where it hurts. The Diamondbacks got an A minus, and the Dodgers got an A plus. That's what makes the D like in bold lettering.
I can't argue that.
That's what makes the D in bold lettering. The two teams you're competing most with, both went crazy.
And then what did the Giants get? Maybe a B?
They're in the C range.
Really?
Giants were in the
C. Like
that makes C minus for the Giants.
Interesting. But yeah, you're right. That is
not only
dangerous.
Not only did the Padres build their offseason around getting Roky Sasaki, and you can't argue that that's not what they did.
I'm not.
That
arguing.
Was the whole offseason. Roky Sasaki or bust. Not only did they not get him, but the Dodgers did. I think the D fits. I hate to tell you, Scrabe. All right. We start off with bad news, but we'll have good news on the Padres when we come back. Gwynn and Chris is underway. Tony will join us in a little while. Stick around as we get ready to roll for the next 4 hours on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Hi, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. is down in Peoria. He's got the ball game going on right now. Padres and Giants. Still 1-1, Scrape? That's what I had a moment
ago. My app gets all weird because it said it was bottom of the seventh and it went back to bottom of the fifth. Now it's 1-1 in the middle of the ninth.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Your app is going crazy here.
These games have gone so quick in
this
spring training.
This one has buzzed along. Nick Pivetta really well here. 2 2/3 innings, struck out four. He struck out the side in the first inning. So the good start for him. Jason Adam. Yeah, I don't want to trade Suarez. I really don't. But I think the team could get a whole lot better if they could find a taker for Suarez. And the only reason I say it is because Jason Adam is just so automatic that I really wouldn't mind making him the closer. It wouldn't bother me. One inning, two strikeouts today. You know that the Jason Adam was in like 20-something games last year for the Padres? He only gave up a run in three of them. He had 12 holds. He had one time where he gave a lead away, but the Padres ended up winning that game anyway. He had a 1.01 ERA. He had a, listen to this, a 0.78 whip. Not 0.9, not 0.8, 0.78. The guy basically is unhittable. He did give up one home run in his whole time with the Padres. Mark Vientos of the Mets got him. Padres won that game also. He was not involved in anything bad that happened to the Padres the entire time he was here. And, you know, I just think there's, you know, the most automatic three outs in any game are the ones that Jason Adam gets. So
from what we've seen, yeah.
I would be willing, you know, I'm not be excited about trading Suarez, but I'd be willing to look at it. You know, we still, you know, DH is not set. Left field is still up for grabs. Good news about left field is that those who gave the Padres a D in the offseason are not really seeing all of these guys that are competing for left field right now.
Yeah.
Are any of them doing badly? I mean, Ornelas is hitting .471.
I think he had a hit today, too.
His eighth hit of the spring and another walk today.
That's huge.
Oscar Gonzalez is hitting over .350. Brandon Lockridge is hitting over .300, stole two bases today.
Wow.
I haven't, you know, he doesn't get a mention very often.
He doesn't.
But Brandon Lockridge is on this team. He's a holdover from last year's squad. You know, we've seen, you know, good things from Eggy and from Forrest Wall. And none of those names even include the two guys that are supposed to play left field, Jason Hayward and Connor Joe. So they really have a lot of choices here. One of them is going to pan out. And the other reason that the offseason grade is overrated is because of what you said when we were talking about it. You hit on something. You didn't even know you hit on it.
Oh, I did.
What was it?
They've already got their guys in place.
You did. That's
Thank
right.
You.
And
Duh.
You knew what it was.
Duh.
The Padres already have six star players locked in. They didn't need a lot of stuff. I know you all wanted them to get three more All-Stars.
I was hoping for Bryce Harper to come on.
Sure,
over.
Well, I don't even know if he was a free agent.
He wasn't. He definitely wasn't.
When you've got Arise and you've got Tatis and Merrill and Machado and Cronenworth and Bogarts, those six guys are your team anyway. That's your team. Those are the guys that are you're gonna live and die with. Those six. If they don't do the job, then you're not going to do the job. And if they do what we think they can do, then you're going to, if Arise wins the batting title again, if Fernando challenges for MVP, if Jackson Merrill somehow takes a step forward in his sophomore season, Manny does Manny, Cronenworth and Bogarts, a little closer to Cronenworth and Bogarts, what happens in left field is hardly going to matter.
It's one spot. And I'm not worried about anybody defensively in left field. It's just about what they're going to produce at the plate.
Well, Tirso, you know, is a big, big lumbering
Tony
guy, but Tony loves his speed.
Yeah, loves it.
Says he's got a little more maneuverability than we think, but I don't know that he comes into it as, you know, a gold glover.
He's not a late game defensive specialist.
I don't think they'll bring him in for late game defense, no.
What about, so why not? Why not switch your focus to finding where you are at the trade deadline and reassess? Because you have a pretty good squad heading into the season.
I think you might. You might have a little better squad than people think you do.
Yeah.
And that includes some of your own fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after all, Camposano makes the All-Star team. That's seven All-Stars. Don't forget about that.
I haven't, Chris.
I know.
I haven't.
Meanwhile, I keep looking for Camposano to do anything in the spring training, and I've not really seen a whole lot yet.
He got banished to the away game today.
Right, he got banished to the away game today. Martin Maldonado started the A-squad game. So here's one guy that really can make a difference, though, and we know this. And he's making way too much money to not finally make a difference, and that's Xander Bogaerts.
Has to.
Sitting 200, he struck out twice today, so it's all over, right? Manny Machado doesn't agree with you out there. If you think that Xander Bogaerts is washed, I think that's the word that the kids use
Correct.
These days, Scrape.
Correct.
He's washed.
Yeah, that is the word.
Thank you. Manny Machado does not think so. He is expecting bounce back season from Xander. Here's Manny.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what we did last year as an
organization. I should say he starts by talking about going for the division.
Right, okay.
Organization as a team, you know, a lot of people didn't expect that from us. And, you know, we overcame a lot of things, a lot of adversities, and built something pretty special here. And, you know, coming into the season, man, we got the same squad going out. Obviously, we're missing some pieces that left. But, you know, with the team that we got in there, man, we're ready to compete. We're ready to do, you know, handle the unfinished business that we have.
You know, you played 150-plus games last year. It's funny because you haven't had a full spring training in quite some time. And everybody thinks that just because you played 150 games last year, you were healthy. What was that like last year? And then obviously coming into spring training this year, fully healthy.
Yeah, rehab, man. Like all last year was just straight rehab. You know, kind of not having your normal off-season routine of working out, bulking up, getting ready for a long season. I think the main part, you know, and you know this, it's you know, you want to bulk up in the offseason so that you could withstand those 150 games, 162 games, you know, because during the season, there's a lot of ups and downs. So, you know, not having that last year was kind of tough, you know, battling through the rehab, kind of, you know, ups and downs of pains here and there on the elbow, couldn't really do a lot of things. So, you know, to have a good offseason this year, normal, kind of getting into a normal spring training and go out there, you know, be with the team on team fundamental stuff. It's been fun to do it. And I think, you know, it's always a special way when you have a healthy spring.
I look at this roster, a bunch of special players all around, but what's going to be the key to this year's team?
Biggest thing is, man, just keep playing as a team. You know, I think it's if we handle the baseball, we handle the team, team defense, team baseball like we did last year, you know, moving guys over. You know, I think the biggest key for us, I think offensively, I think we're gonna have a good year, right? We have Toddy come back healthy. Myself, Bogey's gonna have a big year. Jackson, obviously, we're gonna you know, lead with him as well. But I think defense is gonna be the key for us. We, with our pitching staff, how we pitch, you know, use Petco to our advantage. You know, we clean up that defense and we become a top defensive team. I think you know, that's gonna take us a long way.
Thank you, Alex Rodriguez, for those insightful questions to Manny Machado.
It was Yonder Alonso.
It was Yonder.
Yeah, I thought you were joking for a second.
I thought A-Rod was in on that.
No, that was Yonder.
It was all Alonso. Yonder. Yes. All Yonder all the time.
Yes. I believe that Xander Bogaerts is going to have a big year. Am I a sucker, Chris?
Maybe.
I kind of felt like that was the answer.
It's just hard to expect that he's just going to break out and just all of a sudden finally
it's there.
Recapture it. We know it's been there.
He was hurt last year. I'm willing to make
that
excuse
wrist
until
is never,
the
that
sun
wrist
goes
is
down.
Just never getting healthy. That's the other thing that worries
the
me.
The wrist, that's what Rob Bradford told us when we asked him about Xander Bogaerts, a Red Sox reporter. He said that wrist has been bothering
it's
him
been
for
bugging
years.
Bugging him since he's been swinging for the Green Monster.
The Monster.
Yeah. All right. More Padre talk coming up. And more Gwen and Chris coming up.
Rate the radio call, Chris? Do we
is
want
it possible?
To? I think so.
Stick around. Find out. It's all over in Peoria. It's all over.
It's all over.
Giants Padres skate to a 1-1 tie.
Oh, I can't do this tie stuff, Chris.
Spring training. They don't want to go extra innings. Don't want to use any extra pitching.
I guess that's fine with me.
Yuki Matsui was the only Padre to give up a run today. And Nick Pivetta started this game 2 2/3 innings. No hits, 1 walk, struck out 4. Good to see. Jason Adam had a perfect frame as well. The only run for the Padres was driven in by, somebody have to look up, Marcos Castagnon.
There were some names that I have never seen.
Don't know him.
Today.
Don't know him. He drove in the only run. The other game today, Cubs 16, Padres nothing.
It got worse.
16 to nothing. Padres, let's see. Waldron gave up 4 runs. Brito gave up 2. And then a bunch of guys we don't know gave up the rest. So, again, take it all with a grain of salt. But 16-0 doesn't sound great.
No.
Shota Imanaga started this game for the Cubs. 4 innings, 2 hits, struck out 3. Padres have 4 hits in that game. Connor Joe has 1 of them. Anyway, you're up to date.
That's a bad day at the yard.
Bad day. Padres are going to go to 3-8 in spring training.
3-8-1, right? I mean, yeah, what but they counts? Don't even, the split squad? Or
they don't even... No, they both count, but they don't count a tie. The tie just doesn't get recorded on your record.
So it's the biggest, like, who cares in sports.
Yeah, they just don't care. Well, the whole thing is a who cares.
Oh, I know.
Differences to make.
You know what? I was talking to Arky C. and Fracco on Friday
former Padre
night at Rancho Penasquito's Little League.
Okay.
And I asked him, do you think that spring training doesn't matter? And he told me, depends on who you're asking. Because for him, spring training mattered a lot.
Of course, it matters to the individual players a ton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Means everything. These guys are fighting for jobs. But the actual results of the games mean absolutely nothing. I will still add, though, that only the Guardians and White Sox have a worse record.
Yeah, see, you're still checking.
Than the Padres.
You're still checking.
Just saying.
I'm fine if they tank the Cactus League because, like you said, a few years ago they won the Cactus League and it was a terrible season.
It doesn't mean anything. Dodgers are 6-6. They're just going along 500.
Oh, guess what, Chris? Tonight, Roky Sasaki.
He'll be on the mound for the first time in a spring training game. If you must watch and boo him from your living room, 5 o'clock on MLB TV.
Oh, I will be watching.
You will? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dodgers and Reds. Sasaki's not suspected to start the game.
No, he's coming in. They say Yamamoto's supposed to go 4. Mm. Sasaki's supposed to go 3. So it's very
well, they have to build these
optimistic guys
up. After all, they're the two starters a week from now.
That's a good point. Wait, a week from
now? 2 weeks from now in Korea.
Oh, I was going to say, geez.
Yeah, it's coming up.
In Japan.
Japan. Right. Padres were in Korea last year.
Yes, correct.
All right. Aztecs are in Las Vegas tonight. We will talk a little bit more about this game, but suffice to say, Aztecs, God, you know, the bubble thing still is there. You know, they're not off the bubble yet. Can they lose this game and still make the NCAA tournament? Yes. It's not going to look great, though, to lose a pair to UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
And UNLV beat them the first time. Aztecs will have to get it done again without Magoon Gwath. Brian Dutcher said very doubtful he plays tonight. Also very doubtful he plays in the regular season finale against Nevada this weekend.
I mean, at this point, just get him ready for the
tournament.
They just
want to get him ready for the conference tournament. And if not that, the NCAA tournament. But Aztecs are still on the list of teams that have some work to do. And I think the work they have to do is they can't stub their toes against both UNLV and Nevada this week. They've got to win one, hopefully two, so they don't have to worry about it.
I feel like they figured something out recently.
Playing well. They're not playing the best competition in the Well, I don't know. They beat New Mexico last week. They did that without Gwath. They won at Wyoming. And I know everybody says, well, you only won by 3. Doesn't matter, man. Wyoming is so tough. Did you hear Dutcher said after the game?
No.
He said, I have time next year, and then we're in the Pac-12.
And I never come
and
back.
And I'm never coming back here again.
Well, it's a really hard place to get to.
Yes, there's two things. You have to take a charter flight in there. There's no airport anywhere, you know, within 100 miles, except for the little airstrip they have outside of town.
Yes.
And, the weather's horrible, and the arena's not pressurized, as Smokey Gaines once said.
I wish they could pressurize the arena. That would be awesome.
I just loved it when Kansas went to BYU in Utah and got run out both games. And, you know, they asked the kids about it, and they no, the altitude won't matter. They don't get it. It matters. And BYU and Utah are nowhere near what Wyoming is. I know Duke would beat Wyoming. I get it. I know Auburn and Alabama, they'd win. They wouldn't win as easily as you think they would.
The conditions would make them struggle.
They just wouldn't win as easily as you think they would.
It's a little bit different when you're playing in North Carolina versus 7,000 feet in Laramie, Wyoming.
It's a factor.
The Dome of Doom. It's called the Dome of Doom for a reason.
The Dome of Doom.
Love that.
By the way, the officials the other day called 3 technical fouls in 17 seconds.
Okay.
I mean, these Mountain West officials just continue to be laughable. Out and out laughable. And
did Dutcher say that too? Like, I only have a couple more games and then we're in the Pac-12.
Well, I don't know if that's going to matter. All of the good officials are now gone to the Midwest with the Big 10 and the Big 12. There's just not good officials left. I guess one of the officials the other day in Laramie was a actually a Division II ref, had not ref this Division I game all year.
Ooh.
The other guy was a part-time West Coast official, part-time Big Ten, but he hadn't been chosen for a Big Ten game all year. So that's what the Big Ten thinks of him. Okay. Those were two of the officials that called all three of the technical fouls.
All right.
It's bad, man. I can't believe these guys are so bad.
But you just have to get out there.
You have to overcome that, too.
Yeah, you need to get out there, Chris.
I don't need to get out there.
I would love to see you referee a game between...
Do you have any idea the
Nevada
criticism...
and Wyoming.
I know. Do you have any idea of the criticism that would be levied against me if any of our listeners watched me ref a game? Oh, my goodness.
Why would they criticize you?
Because it's just easy to criticize basketball refs. You never can get a call right.
Oh, Steve Kerr criticized the basketball refs last night. We'll hear about that in the Big Five.
Yes, we will. Right now, though, we're going to hear from an oldie but a goodie. Rate the radio call.
From the really, really good.
Back to the wall. It's gone. Home run derby. And there will be tomorrow.
To the really, really bad.
Open. He throws, it's caught. Nixon streaking down the sideline to the 20. Gets a block from Chase and runs it into the end.
We got some radio calls. Gwen and Chris are going to rate them.
A right-handed hitter back in there. Strasburg ready to go.
It's Rate the Radio Call.
A 1-2 pitch slider, strike three, ball, a no-hitter.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Wow, I missed Tom Lapham, Chris. I missed him.
The Bengals color guy. There he goes. Look out. Hey.
And the other guy's just trying to do the call.
Trying to call the game.
He's like, he throws his guy.
I think it's Dave Lapham.
Dave Lapham, you're right.
I should get it right. Recognize him correctly there.
Absolutely. So,
all right.
I actually didn't know we were going to do this until I was driving down here today and decided
then it just kind of had
time.
A wild hair, huh?
Yeah, it's time.
Right.
So I went through our highlight service and listened to probably 100 highlights, and these are some of the best ones that we have.
There was a lot of good action over the weekend. I mean, we had buzzer beaters. Did you see the Tennessee Alabama game? The guy hit the like three quarter court at the buzzer.
I believe we have that one.
Yeah, it
actually.
Might be have that one. I mean, there was a lot of really exciting games this week.
There were. Tennessee, was it Mashak who made the winning?
It was against Alabama, so I don't know the guy's name.
All right, this came from, I'm pretty sure, because they don't tell me who they're playing or anything. They just tell me what happened, but this is a 79-76, so.
Yeah.
All right, this is it. All right,
so
Tennessee game tied 76-76 with Alabama. This is Tennessee Radio Network.
Oh, God, these guys probably went crazy.
Mashak's going to take it. 2 seconds. Mashak, 1 second. Launches a three-point shot. Good! At the buzzer! Mashak wins it for Tennessee!
Buddy!
With 3.8 seconds to go, Tennessee brings it up the floor. And Jamai Mashak hits the biggest three-point shot in his career.
Hold on, I need to hear this beginning again.
Mashak's going to take it. 2 seconds. Mashak, 1 second. Launches the three-point shot. Good!
All right. Chris, 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
2. He missed the fact that it was a half-court shot.
I know.
It wasn't just a three-point shot.
No. I would
it
have
was
never
well
known.
Beyond the line.
Maybe
like
they said
near,
it later, but can't say it later.
This got to be a half court shot. You got to let me know.
Yeah.
He didn't run up to the 3-point line and just fire it.
He wasn't sitting in the corner.
Sounds like it.
It does. It does. That's why I went back and listened to make sure I heard what I heard.
No good.
You're going to give him a 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to
give describe
him
it even remotely right.
If you're a radio guy and you make a half court shot to win the game, you better include that in your call. I'm going to give him a 2 as well. I was going to give him a 4 because the color commentator waited until after the play to do the, hey, money, money type of thing, which
he did
is always
do that.
Fun.
Yeah.
But you're right. I was like, what in the heck? He didn't say the best part about the entire play. So I'm going to give him a 2 as well. Oof.
Poor performance. Gotta tell me that it's half court. Won the game. It was incredible.
That was incredible. You're right.
All right.
Next one. We're gonna go to baseball real quick.
Okay.
Juan Soto, first at bat with the Mets, hit a big old home run in spring training.
First at bat.
Here is what the Mets, or how Mets radio sounded like for that.
And now the 2-1 to Soto, hit in the air, the deep center field. Back goes Leon, onto the track, it is gone!
All right, I'm a first. 1 to 10, rate that radio call. I'm going to give him an 8, because that's a regular season call in spring training, Chris. The gone at the end is...
track, it is gone!
It's a meaningless home run that means so much to that guy. So I'm going to give him an 8. He also told me...
2-1 to Soto, hit in the air, the 2-1 deep center field.
Deep center field. He gave me everything, Chris. 8.
You know, that's Gary Cohen.
I couldn't tell. I didn't.
It is. And he's one of the best announcers in baseball.
Yeah.
Like the minimum Gary Cohen can get is a 10.
No, you can give him an 8.
Yeah, but I can't. Because that was perfect.
That was perfect. Okay. Yeah. I knew his voice. I didn't.
He's so good.
Connect it.
You know, what he does is make it. Play it again, because this just sounds so easy for him.
And now the 2-1 to Soto, hit in the air, the deep center field. Back goes Leon, onto the track. It is gone.
There's so much going on in that 7 seconds of call.
But you can picture that play. Can you not picture the ball sailing out toward the center field fence?
Him going back.
Can the guy going back and the ball disappearing? I mean, that's exactly what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what radio is, theater of the mind.
Yeah.
And you should be describing what's happening, you know, so that my mind sees what's actually happening. That's what that call did. And it didn't take any extra stuff. It didn't need any, oh, go, 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 look out, get on your horse, come on. It didn't need any of that crap, you know? Didn't need any, whoa, one, so, no, just straight up, you know, 2-1 pitch, it's hit well, it's out there, it's way back, center field, it's gone, man, perfect. And you're right, it's spring training, no need to lose your mind.
No, and, you know, that's more difficult than people think it is, because he's in spring training. We don't know what inning this occurred in. It occurred earlier in the game, actually, but... he has to know who the center fielder is to make it so smooth. He has to know all of it.
He had that easily. All right. Center fielder, right on it.
All right, I gave him an 8. Chris gave him a 10. Let's go to a Texas A&M game. And this game, actually, is it Texas Tech I wanted to do? Yes, Texas Tech. This is the most recent game. But Texas Tech was tied 73-73. Here is Texas Tech radio calling the shot.
Christian Anderson. They double it. Darian Williams for 3. Bang!
Clutch Gene gets him every time.
76-73. One more time.
Christian Anderson. They double it. Darian Williams for 3. Bang!
Clutch Gene gets him every time.
Chris, 1 to 10.
Well, it's hard to say, because it's not
there's no lead up.
Well, there's no context there. I couldn't tell if it was the end of the game or if it was 5 minutes to go in the game. I know for a fact, having seen the highlight, that shot won the game for Texas Tech at Kansas, and it's only the second time in the history of the school that Texas Tech has won at Kansas.
So it's a much bigger deal than
he made it sound. Now, what I don't remember is maybe there was 5-6 seconds left and Kansas was going to take a timeout and have a chance, but I don't remember them having that. I remember that shot winning the game, a 3-pointer, pretty close to the buzzer.
It was set, the final score was 78-73. So
they got it back and fouled him.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to give it a 7 then. I think it's hard to do without the context, though. I think a little more would have been in order there. That with 5 or 6 seconds left, he just put them ahead at Kansas, where they've never have hardly ever won.
Yeah.
That's all true. I would have given that a little more oomph.
I'm going to give it a 5. He didn't tell me where he was on the floor.
Ah, yeah.
He didn't tell me that at all.
Oh, you learned that from me.
I did learn that
from
you.
Yeah, he didn't tell us where he was on
the
floor,
Chris,
at all.
I rate the radio call all the time in my car driving places, and a lot of the time they didn't tell me where they were. It didn't tell me where they were at all, so I'm going to give it a 5. All right.
Let me hear it one more time, because you're right. You can't see. Just compare the home run you heard to the theater of the mind of this, where you don't know where on the floor the guy is.
Christian Anderson. They double it. Darian Williams for 3. Bang!
And the bang was a little too much, too.
Yeah, well, he could have been anywhere. He could have been in the right corner, left corner, at the top of the key.
Yeah, maybe they announced it when they passed the ball to him. Oh, ball's over to him in the corner. I don't know.
I didn't hear it.
But I didn't hear
any location, which means my mind can't picture it.
I'm going to give him a 5. All right, here's a hockey call, and then we have two more. Here's a hockey call. This is the Avalanche, and this is from weeks ago. So this is one of those ones that I was searching for something to rate, but it's the Avalanche. The game is tied 4-4.
Down to the corner. Miller up top for Borgen. Cale Makar out of the penalty box. Takes it away. Avs have something here. 3-on-1. Makar over for Lehkonen. He scores! 14.7 seconds to go in the third period. And we're all up all day to get lucky. Goals in back-to-back games. He's set up by Cale Makar, who had a goal taken away earlier in the period. Artturi Lehkonen does not miss. And the Big Apple is Heartbreak City.
All right. I'm up first on this one. That's a 10. He answered everything I needed in there. He answered how much time was left, who assisted the play, got Heartbreak City in there. I'm giving that a 10. Energy was amazing.
You just gave a low grade because you didn't know where the play was, and I invite you to listen to that again.
Okay, all right.
He made a pass, but I don't know where the pass was to.
Let me see.
It was a 3-on-1, but I don't know where the pass came from or where it went to.
Down to the corner, Miller.
Corner.
No.
Down to the corner, Miller. Up top for Borgen. Cale Makar out of the penalty box. Takes it away. Avs have something here. 3-on-1, Makar over for Lehkonen. He scores!
I guess...
Over for Lehkonen. That's all I got. Could have been anywhere.
All right, I'm going because you can't. All right, I felt like I kind of knew, but you're right. He didn't say it technically. I'm going to give him a 7.
Okay, I'll give him a 6.5. I'm downgrading him for saying that it's what was his catchphrase there? It was a song line.
Oh, I know. Here it is.
We're up all night to get lucky.
Yeah, it's it. We're up all night. Oh, that's a...
That's a song.
That's a Pharrell song.
Was Daft Punk.
Daft Punk and Pharrell, yes. That was dorky.
Can't give him that. I got to take away. For we're up all night to get lucky. Okay, great for you.
That is pretty dorky.
I don't know what the hell you even mean with that. Seriously.
I don't know either. I guess because you're in New York, I don't know.
Excitement was good.
Yeah.
He cracked his voice, which is hard to do, and then keep the call going.
I want
to
replay that.
Play
here
that. Score! That's hard to do.
He's laying it all out with his voice at that point.
He laid it all out there for us.
All right, here's the final one. And this guy's a legend, so maybe it's just us listening to it. But here's a Bob Uecker call of a 3-run home run.
Swinging a fly ball to left and deep. Hey, get up. Get up. Get out of here. Gone for Carlos Lee. And the Brewers lead 3-0.
Very good. Bob Uecker
really
is the man.
Call.
Well, you know, he had a nice...
his voice was perfect.
He had a nice, smooth delivery there. Look, that was his signature, was get up, get on out of here. And I think that, you know, part of that is the fact that it made it sound like it was kind of easy. Carlos Lee, nickname El Caballo.
Oh.
Going deep there for the Brew Crew back in the day. That's circa... 2005.
I was going to say, when did that happen?
Carlos Lee only played for the Brewers 1 year, 2005.
Oh, well, then you know it.
Very good.
10 for Bob Uecker.
10 indeed. You know, there's somebody that's tweeting out every day till the season starts or something that a Bob Uecker clip from Johnny Carson show or something like that.
No.
And every one of them is funny. He does. He tweets it out every day.
It's a lot of work on that.
A lot of work, but honors Bob Uecker. All right, we'll honor the Daily Gambit. Tony should be with us in this next 3 o'clock hour. Stick around for more Gwen and Chris.